She brought into the world an indescribable gift of love. And beloved, that gift of love is an expression for us to cause us to know how much he loves us by sending his only begotten son into the world that we might live through and by him. We live eternal life, and we thank you, Lord. I like the way the New Living Testament puts it. Thank God for his son, a gift too wonderful for words. Try as we might. That song, Mary, Did You Know, comes very close to expressing it with words, but still words cannot express who he is and how grateful our hearts are for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Awesome. So let's look at it. As Matthew says, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. And we'll read from Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the sons of David, descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. Wow. I try to imagine what that would have been like for Mary, a very young woman, and the angel of the Lord appeared to her, Gabriel appeared to her. That must have been so shocking and why me? But this announcement was the fulfilling of the prophecy of Isaiah 7:14, saying, therefore the Lord himself will give us a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel, meaning God with us, born with us. And he has not left us, for he has caused all of us to be born again. And now he lives within us. The Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ is within each and every one of us. But this announcement also declares the miraculous birth, because as in the natural, as everyone knows, you cannot be pregnant without a man and a woman. And it also, this verse declares the moral character of Mary that qualified her for this mission of the Lord. And the scriptures tell us also, and part of for us all to know, that our moral character can either qualify us or disqualify us for certain services of the Lord, for certain ministries of the Lord. The scriptures bring this out in many places. One particular point is Paul said, I discipline my body and make it my slave. Well, that's a good word for all of us, and that's not easy to do, right? Discipline my body and make it my slave so that, in order that, I will not be disqualified. Paul fought the fight. The first fight he fought was with his own body and with his own mind to bring every thought captive and to serve the Lord, totally committed to him. We worship you, Lord. 2 Chronicles, I like this verse, I say it often, 16:9. The eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the whole earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. That's what the Lord is looking for. He's looking at each and every one of us, looking for that heart. He wants that heart that is completely his. This is the kind of people, this is what Mary was. This is the moral character of Mary. He found David a man after his own heart, but he found also Mary, a woman after his own heart, whose passion for the Lord was first and foremost on her heart, as demonstrated, we'll see, by the way she lived her life. This is the kind of people the Lord is looking for, and the kind that the world needs to see. Yes, people whose heart is completely his. Luke 1, verse 28. And coming in, he said to her, greetings, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. And to be chosen as the mother of the Son of God, the Messiah, the great I am, she was indeed highly favored. The Lord is with you, but beloved, know also of a truth, the Lord is with each and every one of us. Not only with us, but within us. Within us. And that is awesome in itself. In that he has made this vessel righteous and holy enough to where he himself can live in this vessel by the precious blood of the Lamb of God shed for us. Now, Mary, verse 29, Mary was very troubled at this statement and kept pondering what kind of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Twice now, Gabriel has expressed and said, declared Mary's favor with the Lord. Mary's character and her passion for the Lord placed her in a highly favored position. The most valuable thing that any one of us can do is also to place our heart to be very favorable to the Lord. It's the thing we should pursue with all of our heart and soul is to first and foremost not to try to find favor from our friends to please them, but to find favor from the Lord, to please the Lord and gain His favor. Colossians 1 gives us a hint about that when it says, pray that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will, in all wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. It begins with prayer. It begins with a passionate prayer. Lord, this is what I want. I want to walk in a way that pleases You, to serve You. In all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That's our prayer, Lord. Luke chapter 1, verse 31. And behold, you will conceive in your womb, Mary, and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. As they say in India, Jesus. They pronounce Jesus, H. Jesus, 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 Savior. Our Father, beloved, has also given each and every one of us a new name. Yes? When we were born again, He has a new name for us. Revelation declares that. Isaiah declares that. Verse 32. He will be great, and He will be called the Son of the Most High. And God will give Him the throne of His father David, and He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and His kingdom will have no end. And beloved, this declaration is fulfilling the promise that He made to David in 2 Samuel. Your house and your kingdom shall endure before Me forever, David, and your throne shall be established forever. And here is the one who will sit on that throne. And fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah 9, 6 through 7. For a child will be born to us, and a son will be given. The child had a beginning at birth, but the son always existed. Awesome. And the government will rest upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Eternal Father, the Prince of Peace. And there will be no end to the increase of His government or of peace on the throne of David and over His kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time on and forevermore. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. And so we pray, Thy kingdom come, Lord, Your will be done. Return and rule upon this earth, Lord. We need a righteous king, a righteous ruler upon this earth. Mary said to the angel, how can this be? I'm just a virgin. I'm a virgin. I do not have a husband. How can I have a child? Mary was very puzzled and asked a very legitimate and clarifying question, because the only way a child had ever been conceived required a man and a woman. And the angel said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child will be called the Son of God. Awesome. Answering her question, this is how you will know, Mary, because you will become pregnant without a man. And beloved, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, the power of the Most High comes upon us. He can bring about whatever He desires in our life. New birth, a new creation, healing, new eyes, new organs, prophecy, new language, whatever He desires. And Lord, we pray this morning that You're come upon Charlsey Swadley, that You would come upon her with all Your power and all Your glory, Lord. Breathe into her body again, afresh and anew, Your breath of life, Lord, bringing life to every cell in her mind, bringing it all things new. Grant it, Lord, we pray. Do it, Lord Jesus. Be glorified in this healing, Lord, we pray. And likewise for little Haley. Grant it, Lord. Hallelujah. We have a throne of grace that we can come boldly before to obtain His mercy and grace in times of need such as this for these precious people we're praying for. Thank You, Lord. All of this declares clearly and with certainty that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, divine. He did not have a divine or made holy because he did not have an earthly father. If he had an earthly father, he would be no different from us, and he would not be an acceptable sacrifice for sin. But because he was divine, the first Adam brought sin into the world. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death spread upon all men because all sinned in Adam. But beloved, the last Adam has appeared. The Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, the last Adam, the Holy One, who took away that sin on the cross, the essential, the original sin was placed upon him, and his blood was shed, and that sin was forgiven to where eternal life now is available for all human beings, for everyone that will simply accept it and believe it and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Available for all life, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, divine. But also he was born a man from a woman, and therefore he was also human. The divine and human, the two in one. Declaring a child was born to us, but a son was given. This is the mystery of the incarnation, the divine becoming human. That's how much he loves us. That's how much he cares. He was willing to do anything to redeem his creation, to redeem his people. So he sent his only begotten son. How much does he love us? How greatly he loves us. Mine cannot comprehend. Verse 38. In view of all of this, Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord." Now that word right there expresses her heart, expresses her passion for the Lord, expresses her love for the Lord God Almighty was first and foremost over everything else in her life when she said, "Behold." In other words, look at me. "Behold, I am the bondslave of the Lord. May it be done unto me according to your word." And the angel departed from her as if that's all he wanted to hear was that declaration. "I am the bondservant of the Lord. I will do whatever you want me to do. I will be whatever you want me to be. And I will carry your son." For a teenager facing misunderstanding and rejection from her family, from her betrothed, from her village, knowing that for a young woman to bear a child out of marriage could potentially result in stoning and death, and without hesitation, she declares and offers her body as a living sacrifice unto the Lord, of which we are all encouraged to do. Beloved, this is great faith, total trust, total commitment to the Lord's will for her life. It is a high mark for all of us to aspire to ourselves. And the Lord is looking for teenagers like this, men and women with the moral character of Mary, offering him their body as a holy sacrifice, well-pleasing to the Lord, willing to face rejection if necessary from friends or whoever, willing to be different from the crowd. Mary demonstrates the true meaning of his lordship over her life when she said, "Behold, the bondservant, I am the Lord's slave," which is literally translated in that way. Now, there is a difference between a slave and a servant. A servant is not owned by the one that they serve, but a slave is owned by their master. And Mary said, "Bond slave, not servant." In other words, she recognized that she was owned. She owed her life to the Lord God Almighty. And the Greek words make this very clear. The words for servant are two different Greek words than the word for slave. And so there's a beautiful lesson when we look at these words, because that word slave refers back to Deuteronomy chapter 15. Let me read it. It says, "If your kinsman, a Hebrew man or woman, is sold to you, then he shall serve you 6 years. But in the seventh year, you shall set him free." In other words, he's free. He's just a servant. "But it shall come about that if that servant says to you, 'I will not go out from you because I love you and I love your household,' and because he fares well with you, then you shall take an awl and pierce through his ear into the door, and he shall be your bond servant forever." thus shall you do to your maidservants. And that's what Mary is saying. She was willing to be his servant forever, the bondservant of the Lord. That's a beautiful picture. That's a beautiful commitment of her life unto the Lord. And this is exactly what she was saying. Behold, the bondslave of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word. Beloved, each and every one of us should live our life in like manner. We would change the world in no time if we would do that. She's committing her life to his will, not knowing how Joseph, her parents, or her village would respond. And this is the true meaning when we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in my life. In other words, we're saying, with that prayer, we're truly, really offering ourselves as a bondslave to the Lord. Your kingdom come here, rule here. Not me, but you rule here. Total commitment to the Lord. This attitude of total surrender and obedience is in the family. Mary's son, Jesus Christ, did the same. He totally surrendered to his Father. And being found in the family, we are told to do the same. Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. Think like he thinks. Do what he does. And beloved, the scriptures do declare that we have the mind of Christ. Christ is in us. We have his mind. And beloved, know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you. You're not your own. We are not our own. We have been bought with a price. We've been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. We are not our own. You've been bought with a price, and therefore glorify God in your body, as did Mary. Another scripture, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not of ourselves. We have it in these earthen vessels. Now, let me say to you, listen carefully and really grasp this with your heart and with your mind. When you believed, you were impregnated and born again by the incorruptible seed of the living, abiding Word of God implanted in you. The Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ was birthed in you. God is love. Love was birthed in you. And now because, 2 Corinthians 5:14, the love of God controls us. So, beloved, let's read together what we look like when the Word of God controls us. Read with me all together. I am patient. I am kind. I do not envy. I am not jealous. I do not boast. I am not proud. I'm not rude. I am not self-seeking. I am not easily angered. I keep no record of wrongs. I dislike all evil. I rejoice with truth. I always protect. I always trust. I always hope. I will always persevere. My love will never fail. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. He's in us. When he's in us, anything is possible. We can live that life, and we need to live that life for our Lord and Savior. As vessels full of the Holy Spirit, we're to allow the Lord Jesus Christ and his love for people and his power to be known, to be seen everywhere we go and with everyone we meet, giving the gift of love and life to as many as will accept it. And when we fully accept his life in us, which requires some work on our part, as the scripture says, in reference to your former manner of life, put off that old self which is corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on that new self which of God has been created in righteousness and true holiness in us. That's who we are inside. Let it be. Live that life in righteousness and true holiness. When we fully accept his life in us, this is what we will look like. Continuing on with Philippians chapter 2. He did not regard equality with God a thing to be held on to, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant. Even our Lord and Savior took upon himself the form of a bondservant. All of his life, totally committed to obeying his Father. He said, the things which I say, I'm saying what the Father says. The things that I do what I see the Father doing. A bondservant to his Father. Beloved, it says he did not regard equality with God to hold on to. But in a small way, we make ourselves equal with God or as God when we're in the driver's seat of our life. And until we empty ourselves or surrender the throne of our life to him, then we are trying to place ourselves or make ourselves in a small way equal with God. But beloved, when we do that, when we empty ourselves and become that bond servant to the Lord, then we will no longer struggle to be somebody, striving for a position, seeking prominence, significance, seeking my way and my will be done, but we'll be striving to meet the needs of others and to make others successful. Yes, change our life. Thank you, Lord. We will give up our right to be right, to have the last word, to win the argument. Beloved, just surrender. Take up your cross and follow him. Hallelujah. Beloved, here's a good life verse for us. I memorized this verse some years ago, and I find it so helpful many, many times to recall it to mind and quote it to myself. Because to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, suffered for us, being willing to suffer for him, to do what's right, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps, who committed no sin. No deceit was in his mouth. And when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. And when he suffered, he spoke no threats, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. And as Isaiah 53 says, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, but he did not open his mouth. As a sheep before its shearers is silent, he did not open his mouth. Beloved, this will totally transform your life and your marriage and how you get along with everyone. Just to follow that example. Not to have to defend ourselves, not to have to struggle for a position, not to have the last word, but just commit ourselves. Lord, you're the judge, not me. And beloved, not opening our mouth can save us a lot of problems. I'm learning it the hard way, aren't you? My mouth gets me in more problems, in more fights, more difficulties trying to prove that I'm right and the way I'm seeing is right and you're not right. Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord, that you live within us. Thank you that there's a better way. Thank you that the Holy Spirit of God lives within us. We will be different, Lord. We want to be your bondservants. Yes, Lord. The Lord wants us to become all we were created to be by emptying ourselves and allowing him to live his life in and through us. And in this way, the gift of Christmas will be given again and again and again. And that new life that was birthed in us, we can help others that be birthed in them and be birthed in them and to live a life of giving and sharing and loving that changes the world that we live in. That is all around us. And taking the form of a bond slave, same as Mary, we are a bond slave to the Lord and a servant to all others. Live the life of a servant to your wife, to your husband, and to everyone. Just as the Son of God did not come to be served, but to serve. And this is the model of how life is lived in the kingdom of God, emptying ourselves to serve and honor others. Verse 8, Philippians 2, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. Instead of exalting himself, he humbled himself and became obedient, even to the point of death. Even death on a cross. Why would he do that? And there's only one answer. Because he loves you that greatly. Because you are that valuable and special to him. He was obedient unto death. Even the long, slow, agonizing, painful, suffering death of crucifixion. Obedient unto death. And Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone will come after me," in other words, let me live my life in them, "he must deny himself and take up his cross," death to self, "and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Will find it? Well, you will find what you were created for, with peace that passes understanding and joy inexpressible and full of glory. And for this reason, because he emptied himself, poured himself out, and was obedient unto death, then God highly exalted him. And beloved, they will do the same in each and every one of our lives when we walk in that same path, humbling ourselves, emptying ourselves, and serving him. He will exalt us in due time. Verse 9, "For this reason God highly exalted him. Whoever wishes to be great shall be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first shall be slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many." But to serve and to give your life so that Jesus and his great love for people may be seen in and through our lives. "And God bestowed upon him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Thank you, Father, for your indescribable gift of love. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him has eternal life. And the gift and giving of his Son, Jesus Christ, continues to this day. And that is what Christmas is all about. That is, to as many as received him, to them he gave the right to be children of God. What an amazing gift. What an amazing gift. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you have done. What an amazing gift. And every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from our Father. The gift of his Son, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, the gift of grace, mercy, forgiveness, peace, the gift of eternal life, the gift of every breath, every beat of our heart, all that we have, all that we are gifts to us from our Heavenly Father. And beloved, we have all been commissioned and empowered to be givers of God's indescribable gift of love to others. So let me remind you again. When you believed, you were impregnated and born again by the incorruptible seed, the living, abiding Word of God that was implanted in you. And the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Lord God Almighty, God who is love, was birthed in you. We carry him, just like Mary, in a sense. We carry him. We carry the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ with the same mission as Mary had to deliver him to this world. That is the mission that we have been given, beloved. Jesus said, "Well, I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world," but he's no longer in the world. And he said, "Now you are the light of the world. Let your light so be seen that you may see your good works and bring glory to God your Father." This is what Christmas is all about. This is what Christmas is all about. It began with his indescribable gift of love to us, and it goes on day by day as we, full of him, impregnated, as was Mary, and giving birth to him, making him known to everyone that we meet. This is Christmas. This is what we're celebrating. And boy, my heart just beats with joy and excitement. I love this season more than all the others because it all began with the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May we respond as Mary, "Behold, when you look at me, behold the bondslave of the Lord. Be it done unto me according to your word." Can you trust him? Can you trust him to be done unto you according to his word? You know how much he loves you. Why do we hold back? Why do we resist? Forgive us, Lord. And we acknowledge also that we have been chosen to be a vessel to carry and deliver your precious Son into this dark world. This is what Christmas is all about. This is what our life is all about. His indescribable gift of love to be seen, demonstrated, and given to others. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children that look like our Father, and to give this gift of life and love to others. The best and the greatest gift you can give to your family, your loved ones, your friends, your neighbors, is yourself. Christmas, you're wondering what you can give? The greatest gift you can give is yourself to the Lord, to your wife, to your husband, to your children, to your friends, to your neighbors. Give of yourself is the greatest gift that anyone could be given. That's the way our Father, that's what Christmas is all about. That's how He gave Himself to us. And we, Lord, in like manner as Mary, just declare, say it with me, behold the bondservant of the Lord, be it done unto me according to your word. Now let's say it together. And mean it from your heart. Just confess it from your heart as a declaration before the Lord, as your commitment to Him right now. Behold the bondservant of the Lord, be it done unto me according to your word. And the angels in heaven are rejoicing and shouting, and the Lord stood up from His throne. The angels of heaven are in our presence. We worship You, Lord. We give to You this day our own body as a holy and sacrifice, well-pleasing to You, Lord. We celebrate our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank You, Lord, for so great a salvation. Blessed be His holy name. Hallelujah. It's Christmas. It's Christmas. Celebrate our Lord and Savior. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, thank You, thank You. Hallelujah. Lord, we worship You.